for our message of this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 48. It's not chapter, Psalm 48. And I got the title from these first few verses here. It's not necessarily word for word in there, but it is there if we look for it there. And I'm going to take the time now to read the first four verses of Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. I cease reading there, and that's kind of stopping right in the middle of it. But the title I have given the message this morning, Beauty in Zion. Beauty in Zion. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion. And we know Mount Zion is referring to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where the people went to worship. Today it's different. We have the Spirit living in us. God's Spirit is living in us, as we have talked in Sunday school. That Spirit is in us, and we come to church as a group of believers, and it is just a segment of the big church at large. As we look at beauty in Zion, beauty in the church, a unity in the church. Where should God's holiness be more shown? The joy of the whole earth, where should it be more displayed than in the church? Where should God's word be displayed, and where should His greatness be shown forth but from the church? Jerusalem was a city built on a hill. People could see it. People could know it. It couldn't be hid. There was Jerusalem. So that's a springboard for the message as we think about that. People could see Jerusalem. They could, as we look at our lives today, beauty in Zion, beauty in the church today. Can people see it? Can people see it? Well, we know the church, as it went to the New Testament. And the New Testament dispensation in Acts chapter 1. And we go into, well, let's turn to that. Acts chapter 1. And we go to the new church there. And it is coming in. And Acts 1 verse 14. We see the church and the believers gathered together. In one accord, they continued with prayer, in prayer and supplication. In one accord, they were in that. There was togetherness. They were bonded together. Women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren, they were all there in this prayer. They prayed with great faith that God was hearing them. And today we also need that. As a new church was started, and the believers were there, and they were bonded together in prayer. And we can go into that chapter 2 as it comes to the sermon. It was preached on great power. And they in verse 41 to 46, you can see where they had great fellowship one with another. And it was just, the church was growing. In verse 47 of chapter 2, we see that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church was growing. There was growth there. It was a beautiful church. As a church was being formed, there was beauty there. They were all together there. They were working toward growing together. My rest of my thoughts for the message here this morning is mostly going to be pulled from Philippians, though. That Psalm 48 was a springboard for the message, and I plan on coming back there in the close of the service and read the last couple verses there. But the main message is I ponder the beauty of in Zion, the beauty in a church. And Philippians chapter 2, and here's some verses that I believe put some, they're not all-inclusive, but there is some truth here that we can glean as we look at a church and what it should be, and what creates the beauty of it. Let's take the time to read the first 8 verses of Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's take that first verse and ponder it as we think of beauty in the church, beauty in Zion. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, consolation in Christ, if there's any exhortation that can be gleaned in the body, as Christ has walked with us and worked with us with His Spirit in us, if there are any consolation in Christ, they were in one accord in the church there, and the Philippian church, they were in one accord, they were in faith. They were believers brought together. And he's saying, is there any consolation in Christ? Are you attached to Christ? And do you have exhortation from Him? Is there any comfort of love? Comfort of love. A love that has action. A love that's working itself out. A love that is sacrificially giving. Is there any? Is there any comfort of love? Things that make beauty in Zion. Oh, yes. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? Fellowship of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life. Is it bonding you one to another? Is there fellowship there? Not talking about the surface things, but the fellowship of deep understanding one to another. We have the common interest. And our interest is to worship God and to give Him the first place. And to serve our Redeemer and our Savior. A comfort. Fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. Are there any affections and mercy? Bowels and mercy. Affection. Bowels is tenderness. An affection. Is there some going on? Mercies here, I believe, has the meaning of compassionate yearning, and there's action there. You're yearning for people, and you care about them, and you're just doing things for them. Is there beauty in Zion? Are these things present? Paul is calling these Philippians here to apply that to their lives and to make a difference. To make a difference. So how can we apply these to our church today? Well, as we apply them there, we have to, first of all, apply our lives. Focus on the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Paul, in verse 2, he's calling them on, fulfill my joy. Paul wants them to have his joy. Don't lose focus on what's important. Be of one accord, of one mind. Be pulled together for the work of the church. When we pull together, when these things that are mentioned in verse 1, when we all pull together and are in one accord, there will be peace. And when there's peace in the brotherhood, there's power in the brotherhood. Unity will prevail. Differences will be dissolved. Bickerings will cease. And I don't bring this message this morning feeling like we stand so much in need of it. But it's something we need to guard against. Because Satan would like to have us start driving wedges in our lives. The love that we have for one another. The comfort and the consolation for one another. And fellowshipping together. He wants to drive wedges in there. And let's stay and maintain that beauty in Zion. Well, I have three main points as we go into the message here. That was all kind of a introduction into the message. And there's three points I want to pull out of this chapter 2. And we could say maybe some of those were sub-points in the first part there. But I've divided it up this way. I want to look at the first one and being in the start of verse 3. As we look at for beauty in Zion, there's some things that need to happen in our own lives. There's some work that we have to do. And verse 3 has the first one I have. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing, not a little bit, be done through strife or vainglory. You know, when you can end strife, gives a church new life. Because as soon as there's strife, there's people pulling against. And I think we all can remember church life that we've been in when there's been strife. When there's strife there, we're pulling in opposite directions. We forget the one direction that we're going, I believe, and that is heaven. And we start pulling away from each other. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife keeps bad company. I'd like to read a couple verses, some verses. Strife keeps bad company. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says this, "For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Do you catch what strife is connected with? In 1 Corinthians there, it's joined with envy, it's joined with divisions, and it's joined with carnality. My own carnal mind and my own carnal nature. The old nature within me. Strife joins company with that. And it's joined up to that. Galatians 5, we also find strife in there as well. Now, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, and you know those works of the flesh, and I'm going to say them here, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a sobering thought. It's named there with the works of the flesh. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In the church, if you want to create a beautiful church, a beauty in Zion, realize that strife in the brotherhood comes from our carnality, comes from other sins of the flesh. And let's call it sin as it is. Well, it comes from Satan. James 3 says this, in verse 14 through 16, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Brothers and sisters, we cannot let Satan have a grasp in our lives of strife within us. And vainglory, looking for ourselves. and building ourselves up. Let's just lay it down and let's not worry about self anymore. And let's worry about serving others and helping others. Service to glorify self is worthless. But service to glorify the church and Christ is worth everything in eternity. All work in the church should glorify God. We can go to that verse in Colossians 3 where it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You're working for the Lord and you're serving the Lord and you're putting your effort in the church for the Lord. And when everyone does that, when everyone pulls their weight and they're not a weak link in the fence, so to speak, and or a missing building block, it's a beautiful picture, beauty in Zion. Let us be one that is said no to strife. Let nothing in our lives be done through strife. Let nothing stand between us and our relationship. Let nothing be done that's going to drive a wedge between us and our brother or sister. The second point I have for the message. If we want to create beauty in Zion, this is in verse 3 as well. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Esteeming others better than themselves, ourselves. Put it personal there. Do I esteem others better than I do myself? Do I view myself in the right light? Or do I feel like I have all the answers that everybody just needs to come to what I think? No. Be open. Lowliness of mind. Lowly in mind. We just, you know, instead we want to lift up ourselves. We like the self-esteem. We like people to notice ourselves. That's the old nature within us. And we must crucify that. But you see, when we get love right, when we love our brother and we love our sister and we love those that we go to church with, you see, that makes it easier for this esteeming others better than ourselves. We love them. We love their input into our lives. We love what they build us up like. Oh yes, they have faults. But you see, love covers fault. It is the love of God that makes Him overlook and wash my faults, my sins away, and yours as well. Love. He didn't have to do it, but in love He did it for you and me. Love in the brotherhood is going to overlook the faults. Doesn't mean that they're not there. But we strive to understand each other, and we strive to let love overcome them and to be greater than the faults. Love enables us to look for the best in others. The best in others, you know, better than themselves. We can't see the best in others if we're starting to look at comparing them to ourselves. But no, love looks beyond that. Are we doing that? Esteem here causes us, when we start esteeming another one, we start looking and we start lifting them up. We care for their needs more than our own. Our concern for them is greater than for ourselves, and we work with that in mind, and we want to protect them and what is dear unto them. That is love. That is esteeming them better than ourselves. We want to watch out and care for them. Beauty in Zion? Oh, yes. When people can see that, when they see love worked out in the brotherhood, when they see people more concerned about others than about themselves, that's love. You see, the old nature is not that way. And the world knows that. Because in the world, it is a get all you can for yourself while you can get it. But in the church, it's not that way. We esteem others better than ourselves, and we give them, and we're willing to give. And it creates a friendship and a bond that is beauty in Zion. That's the third point. Let's go down to verse 5. Verse 4 is a powerful verse. As we thought of that last part, esteeming the needs of others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That was verse was to go with that last part of the second point there. As we look at the needs of others, look not on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now this third point, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe here's the key. Here's one of the key things that helps create beauty in Zion. Here's the key that can help us to put away strife and vainglory. Here's the key to help us to esteem other better than ourselves. It helps us to care for more for the things of others than for the things of ourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did Jesus, as he walked this earth, how did he live? Ask yourself that question many times in a day. Even as you're facing trials and as you're facing decisions in your life, ask yourself, how did Jesus respond? How did Jesus relate to you, to this situation? How did Jesus relate to this trouble? And yeah, maybe he wasn't. We don't have it recorded when he was faced exactly. But I believe the scripture when it says Jesus was tempted in all points such as we were, you and I are, yet without sin. I believe that. Jesus applied truth to his life. He applied what was there to help him be overcomers in his life. And he lived it out. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ, as you look at his life, was there carnality in his life? Did he let the carnal man rise up? Did he let the carnal man have place in his life? No. No. The old man, the sin nature. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was born with a sin nature. But he had no sin. And the fact is that he lived above sin, and he, the mind of Christ, he didn't let the old man ruin his life. Because he was living different. He was living for the God of heaven that he came to fulfill and to die for our sins. He came to fulfill that call that God had sent him for. So as we put on the mind of Christ, we too have to say no to the old man. And as we view our sins, the old nature in us, and we view the price that Christ paid for us, it makes us grateful for his provision to us. It makes us humble. It makes us want to give instead of get for ourselves. It makes us selfless instead of selfish. We want to look out for others and help them through because we have been forgiven so much. Have you applied Christ to your life today? Have you left this mind that was in Christ Jesus being you today? Are you partaking in the sins of the flesh, where the strife comes in? I trust not. Let us crucify the flesh. Let us crucify the sins of the flesh. And let the mind of Christ work in us. How did the mind of Christ work at the cross? At the cross, Jesus, he laid aside his glory in humility. He had all power. He could have called angels to deliver him. But he instead went through with it. He did not seek his own glory. He did not seek the power to be seen to come down from that cross. But he was seeking the will of his Father. How else was he the mind of Christ? He humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. He was humble. And he was a servant. He was a servant that came and gave his life for you and for me. He took that servant role. And he was obedient unto death. Can we today do anything less than that? Beauty in Zion, we have something to hang on to. We need to apply it to our lives, and that is the blood of Jesus, and let it affect us daily in our lives. We find that in verse 9 and 10 then. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That Jesus that came. That Jesus that gave his life. God, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the death. But God exalted him. Given him a name that is above every name. That, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. That's everything. Every knee should bow. Exaltation today, brothers and sisters. Beauty in Zion. We have a Jesus. We serve a Jesus. A Savior. We have a Savior that is standing there, bridging the gap for us. And we must reach out and accept him into our lives. Realizing that he gives all power to us to be overcomers. And as we are overcomers, there is beauty in Zion. Let's go back to Psalm 48. Some closing thoughts here. Let's start reading at verse 5, where we left off there. They saw it, and so they marveled, and were troubled and hasted away. Let's read verse 4 again. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Excuse me. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as if a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. A few thoughts to ponder as we look at this passage here. There's many thoughts in there, but I came down to the last part there. As you come to verse 11, it says, let Mount Zion rejoice. And it talks in verse 10 about praise unto the God. Let Mount Zion rejoice. beauty in Zion? A rejoicing people? A rejoicing people in what? In what? What's in what God has done for them? He's made provisions that they can have a brotherhood that works together. He has made provisions that we can look at others and esteem them better than ourselves. It's through Jesus. And as we view Jesus, let Mount Zion rejoice. And you know, we walk about Zion, and you take them as they took these, they were told to go out and walk about Jerusalem and start looking at it and start evaluating in your life what it means to you. Think about it. Take a leisure stroll in the city of Jerusalem and look at the bulwarks. Look at the towers thereof and just ponder it and think of all the memories you have of it and what good it is to you and how it has helped you in the past. Look at its strong points, the bulwarks there. Consider the easy places, the palaces, the beauty of it. Then tell it to the generations following. You know, first of all, you have to have appreciation for the beauty of Zion, the beauty of the church, before you can pass it on to the following generations. So the challenge I would like to leave: as you today walk around in your mind of the church of God that you are a part of, and you view your life in relation to what you have put into it, to how you are building the church, you view that, and you view all the promises that are in the scriptures that have not crumbled. And you can apply it to your life, and you can rest assured they're there for you. And you view that. And you view your sins that Jesus paid for on the cross. And they're washed clean. What do you view? Is there beauty in Zion? Are you thankful for the church? Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters? Is your heart overflowing for God's provision and His church that He is establishing at large? I challenge each and every one of us. Take that fruitful exercise in your life. Take that walk and evaluate your life and how you are helping to enhance God's kingdom. And view it. Be thankful for the church. I trust you, it will help you to be thankful for the church. We have a promise here though. If you are part of a church and you are building together in God's kingdom, for this God that you walk around in view, as you have told it to the generations following and you're striving to tell it to them, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be your guide even unto death. We don't need to fear death. He's going to walk with us. It's the same God. We can have faith in Him. We go back to that verse 1. And I trust this message this morning takes us back to verse 1. As we think about the beauty in Zion, the beauty that the Lord plants in the church, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I trust our hearts are going to overflow in praise and thanksgiving to the one that has given this blessing to us. Let's kneel for prayer.